This is 89.1 KUAR. I'm Michael Hippelin. The 2021 session of the Arkansas General Assembly adjourned last week. Lawmakers will return in the fall to consider redistricting and any unfinished business. KUAR political reporter Sarah Kellogg covered the session over the last 4 months and joins me now for analysis. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
First, what were your key takeaways? Was this an effective session?
Depends on kind of how you say by effective. You know, I think one party would say it was incredibly effective. I would say one party probably didn't find it effective, saying that, you know, with a Republican supermajority in both chambers, a lot of times they had their run of what they wanted to pass. And so I think that for them, I feel like it was an effective session. I think that there's a lot of things that they will go back home to their constituents and tout. And I think a lot of Democrats are going to try to figure out how they can maybe fight some of these bills, whether it's through the courts or finding ways to maybe make some bills better in the future sessions.
How do you think Governor Asa Hutchinson came out looking? It seemed he got most of the priorities he laid out at the beginning of the session addressed in some form or another.
Yeah. And so, you know, at the beginning of the session, he did a Q&A with journalists about kind of his goals. And some of the ones he did outline, I think, did pass. And he mentioned teacher pay. That was accomplished. It is different from the bill that happened 2 years ago that very clearly raised the minimum pay for teachers kind of on a statewide basis so that it would reach $36,000 for the 2022-2023 school year. Under the bill passed this session, it uses a formula for schools identified by the state as having an average pay rate below their targeted average, and it raises the payments and would allow those schools to receive equalization payments. And the statewide target they listed was $51,822. So that's one of the goals that he wanted. And then another goal he mentioned was the increase of broadband support in the state. The legislature did pass several versions of that. He signed a bill that allows municipal improvement districts to go into public-private partnership. I would say the goal that Hutchinson thought would be the hardest to pass, and I would say that he was correct, was the creation of hate crimes legislation in the state. Arkansas, you know, was one of only a handful of states that doesn't have a law that gives sentence enhancements or harsher penalties to those convicted of crimes that target a person or a group due to an aspect of their identity. That could be their race, that could be their sexual orientation, that could be their religion, their gender identity. And so there was an original bill which had bipartisan support, and that was filed even before the session began. It was filed in November, I believe, but it sat there. It didn't get any momentum. And so there was another bill which does create sentence enhancements in that Arkansans convicted of a certain violent crime would have to serve at least 80% of their sentence before the possibility of parole release if it is proven that they targeted someone based on kind of a series of traits. But this bill doesn't specifically list the classes that would be protected, such as gender identity, sexual orientation, religion, color, national origin. And so because it didn't list that, many proponents of hate crimes legislation said it was not hate crimes legislation. Instead, it was kind of labeled as a class protection bill by some, but the governor was in support of it. It ultimately passed. It's a question of whether or not they'll try to push it and make it more specific in the future.
And that bill was an example of one of the disagreements he got into with members of his own party. He vetoed some bills saying they went too far. And really, this session, we saw a difference of opinion with he and other Republicans about what state government should look like or should do.
Yeah, I think, you know, the two to bring up, gun legislation, you know, there was a kind of the two main gun bills I feel like that went through, which was Stand Your Ground, which was something that, you know, governor, he thought he reviewed, but ultimately passed. But the one that he vetoed, which was created the Arkansas Sovereignty Act, which was Senate Bill 298 at the time, it prohibited Arkansas law enforcement from upholding or enforcing any federal gun legislation and said that, you know, any acts from the U.S. government that infringe on the Second Amendment, past, present, or future, would be void. And the governor vetoed that bill, you know, the Friday before the legislature ended. It ended on, technically it ended Wednesday morning, but it ended, you know, more or less Tuesday, Wednesday. But he vetoed this bill saying, you know, it was too extreme. You need the cooperation between the federal and state government. There were some issues about some people that were pending trials due to maybe gun charges that would maybe be released. And there were some concerning about funding for the Game and Fish Commission. So there were these issues with this bill that he vetoed. And ultimately what ended up being a marathon day was this bill that addressed those issues. And that bill was eventually passed in about 28 hours from filing to being passed. And the governor said he still thought it was extreme, but he wouldn't veto it. And I think the biggest disagreement came from a bill that was against trans individuals and in particular transgender youth. And basically it does ban transgender youth under 18 from receiving medical care that's related to their transition. That could be hormones, that could be puberty blockers, then even if you have parental consent. And so the governor vetoed that. He called it too extreme. It says it kind of gets into the, it's not what the Republican Party should be about, which is kind of getting into the business between parents and their children and hospitals and getting into those businesses. And so that veto was overturned, but Hutchinson has stood by that decision. You know, he wrote an op-ed on the Washington Post about it, you know, kind of saying this isn't what the direction we need to be going to. Now, that isn't to say he didn't pass bills that still were discriminatory against the trans community. He did sign a bill bans transgender women and girls from participating in school and collegiate-sponsored women's sports. Arkansas is just one of many states that are passing that version or a bill or a version of it. So I would say that's kind of one of the major disagreements with lawmakers. There was also power struggles.
What do you think about the overall tone of the bills, and in particular the controversial items you mentioned, the transgender bills or legislation proposed to prohibit some ideas on racism from being taught?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about collaboration between the parties and how that I don't think, you know, really happened much. And talking about the racism bill that you mentioned, there was a bill that did ultimately fail, but it would have given schools the ability to prohibit certain conversations about race from talking. And initially it was longer. It had stronger language. It wasn't as permissive. It was a little more like they can't teach this. And the representative, which was Representative Mark Lowry, received criticism that he did not reach across the aisle and talk to really many, if any, lawmakers of color about this, you know. And so he took the bill down and amended it and worked, you know, next to Representative Reginald Murdoch. And so they worked together and they made a lot of changes to the bill. And Murdoch, though he didn't vote on the bill, he was issued as non-voting. He did speak in for it. And then he talked about the process. And he said that, you know, this is what it should be, is collaborating and finding ways to compromise. And he said, you know, to quote him, he saw some very mean-spirited bills.
And there were some bills that were introduced that were essentially cookie-cutter legislation that had also been introduced elsewhere in the country.
Yeah, I mean, the trans sports bill is one that was kind of definitely copied in other places. That's kind of the one that I think stands out the most, and other states are definitely passing it. You know, Stand Your Ground, I don't know what version it was, but that was something that's been seen and moved around. There was a lot of voting legislation that went through. I would say that's another category. There was a bill that kind of modified and made stricter scrutiny absentee voting. You have to have the same signature on your voting registration from how many years ago to the one that you did on your application. So that could lead to you not getting an absentee voting application. And then the big bill was one that banned early voting the Monday before. And that's been around since the 90s. I'm in Arkansas transplant, but, you know, from listening, that has apparently been in place since the 90s. And so it would change this 20 years or more of having this Monday before early voting. And it was kind of portrayed by advocates as a way to give poll workers a break. And then, you know, people against it basically said, you know, this is voter suppression because it will make it harder to vote. And so that ultimately failed. It failed three times in the Senate committee. It failed in the House committee, eventually made it to the House floor on the final day of the legislature, but ultimately did not pass. And it would have taken about 10, 11 votes to switch over. So I would say that people who were, there was a protest that day about that bill. I mean, I'm sure they left very happy that it was defeated.
And finally, this was your first session to completely focus on what was happening every day in the legislature in KUAR's recently created political reporter position. You've covered the Missouri legislature while in college. Did anything unique about Arkansas stick out to you?
Yeah, so this is, you know, technically my second session, but this is my first time covering it full time. And I think the thing that I noticed the most, and I think what I'm interested in, is the power dynamics. And this is something that I noticed a lot, in that the governor in his veto power does not have a lot of a veto power. It only takes a simple majority to override a veto. And when I learned that 2 years ago, my job almost dropped. Like, it seems like it's a very low threshold to overturn this veto. And so that's one of the main things I noticed when it comes to the legislature. But I think that, I would say there were different like categories of bills that went through. And one of them was kind of on the COVID response, but also on an imbalance of power, which the legislature felt like they didn't have a lot of power when it came to this emergency. But yeah, the other faction that came from that was responding to what many lawmakers saw was an overreach of power by the executive branch. And another bill, which the governor did sign, gives the legislature more power when it comes to public emergencies, including public health emergencies. It allows the legislature to end them. And so there was kind of an unhappiness, I guess, with how they felt what was an empower imbalance. So I think that there was kind of some discontent between that. And sometimes the governor agreed and sometimes he didn't.
That's KUAR political and state government reporter Sarah Kellogg, who covered the legislative session that wrapped up last week. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
This is KUAR 89.1.